The Tao of Self-Confidence, Episode 355.
Welcome to The Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. Visit our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.
Well, hello, friend. Welcome to the Tao of Self-Confidence, where I share stories of amazing women who have discovered their inner journey to self-confidence. I'm your host today, Sheena Yap Chan, and today I have an amazing lady on the show today. She is a former music and brain neuroscientist turned internet unicorn, so I'm really excited to have her on and share her story with us today. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Christine Ko. Christine, how are you today? Maybe you can fill in a little bit more about yourself to our listeners.
Hi. Yeah, I'm so thrilled to be here. I was really, really happy to connect with you. Yeah, just to give you a little background about me, I spent about 10 years in academia as a music and brain neuroscientist. I was, you know, like all good Korean kids, I played violin when I was growing up and for probably 20 or so years, and was really interested in how that intersected with psychology and learning and all those things. So that's how I kind of got into that field. But then in 2006, I started to make my departure from academia and just, you know, well, I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more in this episode, but, you know, launched out to leave the field and start a very kind of multidimensional, you know, multimedia career. And I sort of jokingly refer to myself as an internet unicorn because I'm really into all things unicorns and all things internet right now.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I'm sure that's quite the career change, especially growing up, you know, as you mentioned, as an Asian woman, a Korean woman, your parents probably would have been, were probably shocked, right? You went from...
Yeah. I mean, like many Asian kids, you know, they definitely wanted, I'm one of seven kids and, you know, they wanted all of us to be doctors or lawyers. And, you know, I actually made it to, you know, the doctor stage, not one that could prescribe medication, but I was a PhD. And, you know, it's interesting. I think my parents didn't really understand, my work was so kind of archaic that they didn't really understand exactly what I did, but they were psyched that I was doing that. But by the time I left academia, my father had died and my mom was kind of forging her new way. And, you know, it was at that moment when I was really nervous about telling her, obviously, that I was going to leave. And she said, and this is the first time I think she had ever said this to me, was, "I just want you to be happy," which is like what all of us want to hear from our parents, right? But I think, you know, her new phase of life had given her a new understanding for, you know, how valuable our time is and how it's important to be doing things that we care about.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, life is so short. We never know what's going to happen. So it's great that, you know, your mother was able to tell you, like, whatever makes you happy, even if they don't understand half the things you're doing.
Yeah. And now I think she still doesn't understand the sort of internet part. But, you know, I've written a book and I've done some stuff that she can say to people, okay, this is my daughter writes, she does this and that. And so I think it's actually a little more concrete and a little easier to explain now.
Awesome. Well, that's good to hear. And Christine, what's your favorite self-confidence quote?
That's a really good question. I think Eleanor Roosevelt may have said this, but it's, "No one can make you feel inferior without your consent." And I think that is so important because so many of us, you know, push up against people who, you know, might make us feel bad about ourselves or our own inner critic. And I think a big part of that journey to self-confidence is really, you know, figuring out that you are in charge and that, you know, you are the driver of the bus.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, I love that quote too, especially, you know, as women, especially Asian women, we always feel like we need other people's approval to feel mm-hmm. worthy. And, you know, we have to just realize, like, we don't need that validation. As long as we can learn to love ourselves and know that we are worthy, that we have that worth, we can go out there and do amazing things. So thanks for sharing that. And in your own words, how do you define self-confidence?
I think to me, self-confidence, you know, it's about a few things. I think it's about issuing trust and kindness and forgiveness and acceptance to yourself. You know, you need to, I think, trust in your ability in order to start something or do something. And then I feel like a big part of it is being kind to yourself as you explore things and to forgive your stumbles and accept them as part of the journey if things don't kind of work out exactly as planned. You know, I think maybe especially in this social media world of perfection or sort of supposed perfection, we always feel like we need to be doing these amazing things and they come out perfectly. And I think that's just, the journey is a lot more messy to self-confidence, especially. So I think it's about trust and kindness and forgiveness and acceptance.
Thanks for sharing that definition. And I love how you mentioned it. I mean, yeah, like social media can really just kind of like make us like a little bit conscious of ourselves. But we have to realize, you know, especially the media, when you look at, you know, covers of the magazine, how altered it is, not realizing like sometimes they alter it to a point where it doesn't even look like the person that they intended to, you know, photograph. You know, we just have to learn to realize, like, you know, we don't see all the, you know, we see the glory, but we never hear the story behind it, the triumphs, the sacrifices, the obstacles that we go through. So it's really great that, you know, having a show like this shows people like we all go through the same thing. We all go through the same thoughts that go in our head, right? Like the body shaming or, you know, making mistakes, and we get really like crazy over it. Like, why did I do that? I'm such an idiot, right?
You know, and it's funny too, because I find that, you know, whether it's in my writing or on Instagram or anything, you know, whenever I share, I mean, I love sharing beautiful, lovely things too, but whenever I share something that's really hard or a moment when I'm really struggling or something just difficult, you know, people respond to that. Everybody has difficult stuff that they're working through, right? And I just feel like if we just relate to one another more as real, you know, people in a genuine, authentic way, you know, we'll all just be so much better off.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think authenticity is something that's totally missing that we need to show more. So thanks for sharing that great definition. And Christine, what was your life like before your discovery of self-confidence?
Well, I really think of my early sort of, I do have kind of a moment, I think, where I kind of really started to feel self-confident. But I think before that was largely during my time in academia. And I would characterize it as a period of time where I was really rooted in fear. You know, a lot of people don't believe this, but I was actually a very average, not so great middle and high school student. And so but I hung out with smart kids and I was Asian, so everybody expected me to be smart. But I don't know, that particular phase of learning in my life was very difficult. I remember sitting there thinking, I really want to get this. I really want to understand this, but my brain was not processing it. And it wasn't until college that I actually began to sort of succeed academically, but I always had a little bit of imposter syndrome. So I think that period of life before really feeling self-confident, I was rooted in fear. I was pushing to do more because I just wasn't confident that I was enough.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, going, you know, school is sometimes school can be like, it can affect us negatively. I mean, when I was 5, I mean, the teacher failed me for coloring outside the lines in kindergarten. Like, can you imagine?
Awful.
Can you imagine like the self-confidence issues that I didn't even know was in my head at the time? But, you know, it's sometimes, and, you know, having those expectations, right? Like you mentioned being Asian, it's like you have to be good at math. If not, you're not Asian. But like, you know, each of us are totally different people, right? Like we don't have to be good at math or we can be good at math. Like it's just each person is different. And when we can learn, like, you know, these are just standards of other people, they're not really the standards that you have to follow by.
Mm-hmm.
We can, like, people can feel a lot lighter, right?
I mean, and we're talking about academic things too, but I also feel like, you know, since we're two Asian women talking to each other, you know, one of my lasting memories, since you mentioned being 5 years old and having that memory, was in first grade when we went around at circle time and the teacher asked us all to share our middle name. And my middle name is Korean. It's Kyunghoon. And she actually laughed out loud at my name. And like, when we think of these little snapshots and how they can erode sort of your confidence and sense of self, like it's that particular example makes me a little livid, but I just, you know, I feel like part of our journey sort of going through life is trying to like figure out how to, you know, get past those things. And, you know, perhaps I'm still working on issuing forgiveness towards her, but but I think it's all related, right? You know, sort of getting past some of that baggage and those expectations.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, sometimes we don't even realize it till like 30 years after, you know? So,
mm-hmm,
I mean,
mm-hmm,
it's
definitely
just, awareness is the first step, and then we can always figure it out along the way. So thanks for sharing that. And, you know, what was that point in your life when you realized like you didn't have to, you know, do the imposter syndrome, you know, you were more than enough to go out there and do the things that you wanted to do. Like, what was that aha moment in your life?
Yeah, it was kind of a bunch of converging things. But I think, you know, as I mentioned, I'd really struggled academically and always felt like I wasn't really enough. And then my last kind of station in academia, so I finished a master's and then a PhD, and then did the last thing, the postdoctoral fellowship, which is kind of the last staging point before you go off and become a faculty member or a full-time researcher or something. But, you know, I had earned an NIH grant both for my PhD, but also for my postdoctoral fellowship, which was at a very fancy sounding joint appointment at MIT, Harvard Medical, and Mass General Hospital here in Boston. And it was so interesting because I finally was like, okay, I got here. Like, I was clearly enough to get here and to win this prestigious grant to be here. And I'm here and I'm doing the work. And now I feel okay leaving. So it was sort of like I needed to, in some ways, this is not how I was kind of carving it out in my mind. But in hindsight, I was thinking, you know, I think I just needed to get to the top of that mountain to realize that I could do that. And then I could go and do, you know, the thing I was meant to do. So I think that combined with sort of having my first child and, you know, my father passing away, all of those things happened at the same time and really led me to believe that, okay, you know, this was probably the hardest thing. I could do this. I can do anything now.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, it's great that you mentioned, like, you got there and you're like, what, you know, you just decided to just like go and do, you know, just turn a different route that because you already had that ability to know that you can go and just get to the top, you know, anything was possible. And like, you just had that confidence to do it. And, you know, because of that, what's your life been like now?
One thing I want to just mention too about that moment, the sort of aha moment, was that I think a big part of it was realizing, okay, these are just all people here, you know, and they're just all normal people. I mean, yes, they're very smart, but they're all normal people. So I think, you know, whatever challenge any of us has in life, we're probably elevating what it is like at that point and who the people are there. But ultimately, you know, we're all just people. So I would say now, you know, so this is now 11 years ago that I left academics and started off on a freelance career that, you know, it started out with my blog, Boston Mamas, which I started kind of on a whim, but, you know, because I felt like there was a hole editorially that was missing in the Boston area. And that has led to a book and a podcast and all manner of things. And I think a big part of it is that now when I think of something new that I want to start, I don't get in my own way or I don't doubt myself. I just think, okay, what do I need? What are the sort of five key things I need to get it going? And then I just go do it. So I just don't doubt myself that much anymore.
Thanks for sharing that. And, you know, to the woman who's listening to your episode, you know, she may be going through a similar journey of self-confidence. What'd be that one tip you would give to her?
Can I give two?
Sure.
I think my first one would be to unabashedly look at your life and stack up your competencies. So I think we all have a tendency to be very self-critical. And I think the reality is we all do a lot of things and have proven ourselves in different ways, and that may come in different forms. But to really look at those things, I think of that because you know, for a while I had a design firm and I'm a self-taught designer. So I've always felt a little like, oh, am I really any good at this? And when I was having one of those moments where I was feeling like, oh no, is this work not enough? My husband said, you know, go to your press page and look at all the people who have written about you and your work and just stack that all up. And that really stuck with me. So whatever it is, you know, stack up your different moments where you have had a victory and be okay with looking at that and being like, okay, I can do this. And then my second piece of advice, you know, if you're trying to figure out your way and how to become more self-confident, is to have a little secret, what I call a secret squirrel tribe, you know, a few confidants where you can bounce ideas or talk very candidly about, you know, what's going on in your life. I sort of have a few women in my life who are both professional and personal, my professional and personal secret squirrel tribe, and they're feedback and their honesty and their ability to reflect things back to me is so valuable. So, you know, rise up and lift one another up.
Thanks for sharing those great tips. You know, I truly believe having like a small circle of people who can, you know, you can confide in is totally great. Just, you know, lets you become more who you are, and then they can understand what you want to do, right? And give you suggestions and feedback on your work and on your journey. So, you know, I really believe, you know, it's really important who you surround yourself with, especially when you're on this journey to self-confidence. So thanks for sharing mm-hmm. that. And Christine, if our listeners wanted to get to know a little bit more about you and what you do, is there any links or social media profiles we can connect with?
Oh, well, I'm everywhere on the internet. But I mean, I think the easiest place to send people, or if you'd like to visit, is christineco.com. But that has kind of you know, I have my blog, Boston Mamas, and then my podcast, At Your Life, which actually we just had a conversation on that podcast about women and mentorship that your listeners might be very interested in. And there's another one on women and money and, you know, just kind of like women rising up. So I think your listeners would be into that. And then I also will say that recently I started with my husband a very cool design shop where we have t-shirts that benefit. They're kind of like advocacy oriented. So every t-shirt donates to a different charity and they're pretty cool. So I don't know if you have show notes that you link up to, but everything can be found at christineco.com.
Thanks for sharing that. And to our listeners, if you do, we do have show notes for that. So totally blanked out, but thanks for sharing that. And to our listeners, if you want to connect with Christine, you can also head on over to the thetaoofselfconfidence.com and search for Christine's name. Her show notes will pop up along with everything else we talked about. And I just want to thank Christine for taking the time to share her story and tips with us on self-confidence. So thank you so much.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
It was an honor having you on the show. And to our listeners, be on the lookout for another new episode of Another Amazing Woman's Journey to Self-Confidence. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to another amazing episode of The Tao of Self-Confidence. Want to learn how you can use podcasting to market your business? Download your free report by visiting our website at thetaoofselfconfidence.com. Your inner journey to self-confidence awaits.